This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And first up on the show, we're talking about skin whitening, brown face, and why brands keep insisting on walking this path.
I mean, you would think we'd be over with this by now, right? But just yesterday, a music video by a local musician slash influencer, Howren, dropped on social media. And it was a music video called White Doll. It was made to promote a skin whitening drink, but that's not the whole story. So the video itself is about a guy who has a crush on a girl who has, shall we say, tan skin because she's been walking to school daily. And the storyline of the video is that he keeps giving her gifts that help her become fairer. Things like sunscreen, cardigan, umbrella, soy milk, and of course the aforementioned skin whitening drink that the whole music video is about.
Yeah, and so as a result of that, she has noticeably fairer skin after 60 days, and all the people who mocked her previously now marvel at her appearance. And also it's a romantic comedy. So of course this person who gives her all the gifts gets the girl, and it's a whole thing. I think the issue here is twofold. So on the one hand, the fact that it was made. The second thing is that we're talking about it now, and we're, I think, talking about it in pretty disapproving tones. But the initial reception to the music video when it was put up was largely positive. I think on the platform itself, people found it charming or amusing, and or didn't seem to see that there was perhaps something questionable about the messaging. And it was only when it left its original platform, when it started making its way into Instagram, when it started kind of finding its way into the rest of social media, that other opinions and started kind of entering the frame.
So the backlash towards the video, you know, you can largely sort of divide it into two things, which are both interconnected. One is the fact that they actually used brown face on the girl herself. So they put brown makeup on her to make her look darker. And the other part of that is this stereotype, not just that fair skin is beautiful, but that fair skin is better, because the whole idea is she becomes better liked after she becomes fairer, that when she had dark skin, people made fun of her, you know, and there's just a sort of undercurrent of racism, you know, colorism to this whole thing, which I think, as you said, Lynn, once it left that platform, it quickly became clear that this isn't something that you'd expect to be done today, I would say.
I think it's made somewhat worse by the reaction from the artist, right? Because it's essentially been, hey, listen to the lyrics. If you listen to the lyrics, you'll get that it's really a positive message. You're focused on the wrong thing. Don't focus on the product that I'm hawking. You know, focus instead on the message. And so that's one. The other, I think, is the notion that it is based on real life, ergo it's fine. You know, because the what Howren has also said is that, hey, my girlfriend actually went through this. The song is based on what she went through, and therefore it's okay. And I think something like that, actually yesterday we spoke about how to be more, how to be better participants in a multiracial community. And I think that it's great that we're talking about this the next day, because it is in fact an exact reaction in some ways to that, right? Because you would only, I suppose, think that it's all fine and everything is cool if there is no understanding of the larger frame that this operates in, and the idea of it perpetuating fairer is better.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? Because we went through this, I think this was last year, when that adaptation of Dayang Senandung came out. The main contention here is that the solution always seems to be, let's take the dark-skinned person and make them fairer and all the problems will be solved. That doesn't change much. All it does is still put dark skin on the lower pedestal and posit fair skin as being the answer to getting better things in life. I know that on some level, this idea of acceptance and this idea of everyone will be okay with this makes sense, maybe, but in execution, all it does is continue to perpetuate this impression that it's always better to be fairer.
a lot of things to talk about, not least of which is how these things even get made, right?
Because exactly.
You mentioned earlier this idea of it doesn't feel like a product of this time. It doesn't feel like a very 2020, 2021 kind of thing to be doing, that perhaps after the multiple faux pas that we have seen in this area, we would have somehow ascended or evolved to move past this. So I think it's worth talking about how it is that these things come to be, whether it's from people operating within a vacuum and a bubble and not necessarily talking to other people about how this might impact them. There's so many layers to it, I think, on the scale of the product being sold itself and then the larger societal repercussions, right? So we are going to be talking about this after with Alvin Teo, who is the Executive Creative Director at Naga DDB, just to find out, when we put out promotional material like this, what is the ideation process? Is there a sense of being sensitive to the kinds of things that rub people the wrong way? In the meantime, though, have you seen this music video? Did you hear about it? And how did it make you feel? The fact that in 2021, we are still seeing brown face or darker skin being used as a punchline of sorts. You can call us with your thoughts. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14. You're listening to The Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're talking today about how it is that in 2021, music videos, promotional materials, advertisements are still going the route of brown face and sort of maintaining this stereotype, I suppose, that darker skin is somehow inferior to fairer skin and that we should all be endeavouring to change that. We wanted to know, I mean, have you seen this music video? It is one by a local musician and influencer, Howren. It has since been taken down, but I think it did make the rounds prior to that. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So now, to find out the process or how the industry of advertising and the like is reacting to stuff like this, we're crossing over to Alvin Teo, Executive Creative Director at Naga DDB. Alvin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay, I have to ask you, what was your initial reaction to the music video?
I didn't get a chance to watch the music video, but I did read all the articles. I think the video has been disabled, if I'm not mistaken. But just from reading the articles and looking at all the GIFs spreading around, I kind of get what's happening. And my initial reaction will be like, here we go again. It is a highly sensitive topic. And I think in this time and age, we have to be very careful. And I don't mean that other times and age we were not careful, but I think right now, when everybody is their own social media platform and people have a voice, it is even more important that we really listen to what's happening, in society and how people think and how people have progressed. So my first initial was, oh no. I read the response also. I think he was trying to defend himself by perhaps trying to say that bullying is not cool. His intention was not to demean people of different skin color. He explained that it was suntan and all that kind of stuff. That aside, right, the topic is so explosive and so sensitive. And we happen to be, we're called woke generation now. Although I don't buy in 100% to all the woke stuff, I don't believe in cancel culture and all that stuff, because I believe in dialogue and, meeting in between. But at the same time, we are in an era where everybody are looking out for these things. So it's not very wise to do stuff like that. I'm not even going to talk about the ethics or the moral of it. Not wise. That's my opinion.
So, on that note of a dialogue, right? In your opinion, do brands and ad agencies and so on have a good grasp on these kinds of sensitivities when it comes to the Malaysian market? What kind of work, what kind of research is being done to make sure that they take this into account?
I think marketeers these days are very savvy. They are incredibly sensitive to these things. As partners with ad agencies and other consultants, we are equally aware and we know the sentiments on the ground. So we are very sensitive to these things. In fact, sometimes I believe that we are overly sensitive until we kind of like every little thing that is not even negative, we kind of like we blow it out of proportion because we're trying to walk on eggshells sometimes. And it's a balance between trying to say something that we feel is important but not in any way that can be misconstrued as offensive. And these days, you know, the opinions on social media is actually like, you know, it can become a tsunami. It becomes a ripple. It becomes, people catch on to things. And I think we are, our behavior online is we are very quick to judge and very quick to comment and very quick to pass on things, right? Mm. And we understand that how people behave these days, and not everything is filtered, not everything is done through the lens of reflection or like, wait a minute, let's think about this. We read a headline, we don't read the copy. The headline offends us and we share it right away. It's through our WhatsApp, through all our social media platforms. Yeah, so we are very, marketers are really savvy. And trust me when I say that, because when we present work to our clients, sometimes I... there's no intention of being offensive. There's no intention of being insensitive, you know, and trying to be respectful. But sometimes marketers will spot things that is not even there, and they're just, it's due diligence, and I don't blame them. And then we have a dialogue, and we figure out, like, is this really, really offensive? Is this really immoral, unethical? Is this right? Is this wrong? So there's this huge debate that goes on. And it's not even a debate that goes on in a conference room. It goes on through a WhatsApp. Sometimes clients would text us and say, hey, I still think, you know, and then we say, oh, okay. And then we have this dialogue. And the intention here is, of course, not to offend anybody, but also I think people are very aware these days of not doing anything that can lead to negative things, to add on to the division or the misunderstanding or the pain or the injustices that's out there already. You know, and brands are very careful. Brands are very aware. I think they've come very far. Advertising has been blamed for a lot of things, you know, by creating false narratives for people to buy in and causing insecurities. While I will not deny that, because there are some parts of it, we have history that we might not be very proud of, right? But the marketers of these days and the industry, they are very aware. And these are the things that we grapple with on a daily basis. We do think about it because at the end of the day, we are consumers too. We are audiences. We are citizens of this country and of this planet, you know, and we are sensitive with what's happening around us. When we do listen and we do pay attention and we try our best to put content out there that is positive and that can persuade people in a positive manner. So, yeah, we are. I think I said too much, right? Yeah, I'm just repeating myself. Basically, we are sensitive. Yes.
Well, so I wanted to follow up on that because I'm interested to take it back to that back and forth that you're talking about, right? Like between the client and the marketeer and, you know, saying, is this going to work? Is this going to actually have the impact that we want it to? And I wonder whether there is still that eureka moment on whether that finding that balance between an idea that is appropriate and positive and so on, but it's also going to do the job and work to actually sell the product, sell the brand and get eyes on it.
Yeah, exactly. What's my take on that, you mean?
And I guess, at what point do you know you've got it? With all these new sensitivities that have come into play, with all these new considerations, is the process of coming up with the idea the same or has it shifted?
All right. I don't think the process of ideation or trying to figure out what to say has changed a lot, but the consumers have changed, audiences have changed, times have changed. And advertising, right, one of our biggest jobs is to understand what life is all about. I know it's a very generic, vague thing. Like, advertising is life. Life is advertising. If you don't understand and live life and experience life and ponder on life, you have nothing to offer in advertising. Because at the end of the day, we are in an era where people can choose what they want. We're in an era where people can demand things. They can choose when to hop in and hop out. They have an opinions of their own. And because everybody has a media platform of themselves on social media, they have a voice. And it's very important for us to understand what's happening so that when we look at all the things that we're trying to sell or produce or put out there, right, we have to be in tandem with the pulse of society, so to speak. We don't always get it right. I mean, you have social listening tools, you have all the research stuff, and you have your own observations and reflections, right? But the whole intention here is to... the approach to idea is that when we put something out there, we are actually trading something. We are going to buy, say, a minute of your time to watch this stuff, right? And in that 1 minute, you have to be rewarded. People have to feel affirmed, or they learn something new, or they're entertained, or they feel good sharing it, because it's an extension of their personality or their beliefs. And that's important, because it's called vanity matrix, right? People see something that they feel that, oh, this affirms my belief. I really like this. I'm going to share it, because this is an extension of my beliefs too. So the ad-land marketers and what we call ad-land people, we have to understand that, because we see the audiences basically as partners and collaborators in the stuff that we do, because a lot of the voice of the brand is carried by the consumers, because they have a say of what they like and don't like. And that's our job these days. So it does make things a little bit complicated, but that's where the value of our work is also, because it is extremely fulfilling when you get it right. And in terms of ideation and coming with ideas, right, there are so many ways to dissect this. There's the brand voice, which is the narrative of a brand, and you deal with human insights more than anything. And there's products that you want to sell and push. Then you deal with consumer insights. And it depends what you want to do, whether you want to sell the brand narrative to get people to buy into your beliefs, or you want to sell a product or a service that people can touch and feel and see. So there are all these different tactics of how to bring forth the story of a brand or product out there, different touch points, different mediums, different everything, basically. And we have to grapple with all these things. And then the last question is like, are we going to offend anybody? I hope not. Boom, then it goes out, you know. So that's how we work, lah. It's fast, yeah.
So, Alvin, taking all that into account, I wanted to bring up the question of responsibility, right? When it comes to advertisements, when it comes to promotional material, is it the creator's responsibility to think about larger societal impacts?
I think it's a collaboration. Again, these days, creatives cannot work in isolation. So it's a partnership with everybody in an ad agency. It's partners with the media people. It's partners with our clients. And I think more and more, if we see what's happening, I'll call it trends, because I can't figure out what word to use to describe this. There's a trend that probably inspired more from the West, and it's spreading around, right? Although the West sometimes is not the best example that we can use these days. But anyway, there is a trend where we have to kind of understand where things are coming from and how people perceive things. And how to move forward with those things. And I think that when you talk about responsibilities, right, there is a responsibility. Like in Spider-Man, what did Uncle Ben say to Peter Parker? With great powers come great responsibility. So the power that we're supposed to have is the power of persuasion. And that is an incredible, incredible power. And it comes with huge responsibility. There's a beautiful saying by the founder of our agency, Bill Birnbach. We have a couple of 100+ offices around the world kind of thing. And he said this, everyone who uses the media professionally are the shapers of society. We can vulgarize that society, we can brutalize it, or we can lift it up to a higher level. And that is something, that is one of the quotes that I studied when I was a junior art director a long, long time ago. And that was the only line that really resonated with me, because I've never seen advertising presented through that lens before. We have a responsibility out there, and I know that we're not perfect. And we do drop the ball, and we do make stupid mistakes and do things, and then we get flamed for it, and rightly so. But the intent is always to use that power of persuasion through the mediums that we tell our stories to see that, is there a greater impact out there? That's why it's not uncommon to see a lot of ad agencies, especially during festive season, right? They probably inspired by the late Yasmin Ahmad, who is, a great inspiration to so many of us when we were young, to use the power of media to persuade people to think more about community, about, acceptance, about friendship, anti-racism done with good taste, not preach to people, but help people be aware of the beauty of our differences. And the beauty of our differences is not just about class, religion, language, it's the color of skin, body sizes, our ideologies, the things that matters to us. It's a very diverse world out there. And we're trying to find things that can unite this diverse world by going deep into the human insight. Because if you really understand what a human insight is, right, it basically says that we're all the same deep down inside. If you go to the fundamental things, right, of what matters to everybody, I don't care what language, religion, class, creed, background, education you come from, but there's something that makes us one as a human species, and that's where we want to get to. And that's why a lot of the content out there, right, are trying to navigate that space. And at the same time, trying very hard not to offend people. Then you get backlash and all your good intentions go to waste. So there are all these things happening. It's not just coming out from Naga DDB, but it's from all agencies. And I have friends in every agency, and these are the things that we grapple about, we talk about, we discuss about. I've got clients, ex-clients, current clients, and hopefully future ones. They talk about these things, they think about these things. Not all of us do, but that conversation is kind of leading. Then that's a good place to be. It's really nice to see that conversation going that way, because it gives us a bigger role to play in society, not just pushing new products and brands, you know. Mm. There's something that transcends that, and I think that's really nice. It's good, lah. It's good, lah. Yeah.
Alvin, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
No problem.
That was Alvin Teo, Executive Creative Director at Naga DDB, taking us through what happens on the marketing side, the advertising side, when it comes to putting out the content that we're talking about today, which, if you missed it, it has been taken down. It was a music video by a local musician, Howren, which was called White Doll. I think that tells you pretty much everything you need to know. And it really kind of blew up in the same way that we saw with the Watson's advertisement in 2017, because of it continuing, I think, to perpetuate the stereotype of darker skin being something that needs to change or needs to be improved upon. We want to know what you think. Did you manage to catch the video? Why is it that we can't seem to move on past this? Why is it that we seem to be stuck in some horrible Groundhog Day on this issue? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to continue the conversation after the 5:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.